Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 116. This is Jamie Russo. For those of you that are new to the show, I own a co-working space in Palo Alto, California. I am the executive director of the Global Workspace Association, and through my Everything Coworking brand, I use my broad industry experience to help people start and run co-working spaces that meet their personal and financial goals. First, I need to give a big welcome to the new cohort of the Coworking Startup School. We closed registration last Thursday, and we're getting everybody onboarded into the Slack group and starting our weekly calls. I am super excited to learn more about all of their projects. If you are interested in the next cohort, which will launch towards the end of the year, then get your name on our waiting list at www.coworkingstartupschool.com. And in the meantime, join us in the Facebook group. We have over almost 700 members in the group now. So we've got some great activity happening there. Lots of participation from the group, and I jump in there also. If you're interested, join us at www.everythingcoworkingclub.com. That's the shortcut to get you into the Facebook group, or you can just search for us in Facebook. And then I have to give a thank you to Your Only Jason for his review. His title is Wonderful, Thoughtful, Informative. Jamie's episodes on co-working are very helpful and specific. As someone who has been thinking about opening a community workspace, I have listened to and absorbed nearly every episode. Her advice is organized and easy to understand. All the advice is practical. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. Thank you, Jason, for writing such a lovely review. So I have to provide an update. I am so relaxed as I record this episode because I think there's zero chance that GarageBand, which is what I record in, is going to tell me that my hard disk is full and that it doesn't have enough resources to continue recording, which is what was happening to me over the last few episodes. And I mentioned recently that my hard drive was full. I use a MacBook Air, that my hard drive was full of other. Like 85% of my hard drive was categorized by my About Mac screen as other. And I Googled and did everything that I could find to fix this problem, and nothing would fix it. I have the app Clean My Mac, which I pay for and use religiously to clean everything up. Could not figure out what the heck was clogging up my hard drive. So finally, I made an appointment to go to the Genius Bar, and they indeed solved my problem. So they had me download this app called OmniDisk Sweeper. And I was like, but I already have an app. I use it all the time. They're like, ours is better and it's free. And it will tell you, like, in minute detail what's on your hard drive, not just other. And it turns out that I had 10 gigabytes of attachments in my Messages app, which is what you use for texting if you have an iPhone. And who knew that syncs to your hard drive? I should have realized that. I guess I sort of thought it was all in the cloud. Learn something new every day. So I deleted all of the messages between my husband and I. He sends me piles of photos of our kid when I'm not around. And then he also sends me photos of Mets related things, which he knows I don't really care about. And he's actually outside watching the Mets game right now. For any Mets fans, they're having a great season, which is very exciting for anyone in New York that's not a Yankees fan. Anyway, lots of Mets and child photos. And then my friend Christine, who sends me lots of CrossFit photos and videos. And that cleared up 10 gigabytes of space right there. And then most of the rest of it was photos. And I couldn't tell that because on the About Mac screen, it just said others. And photos is a separate category, but it's just not accurate. So anyway, I got all my photos uploaded to Google Photos, which I had already done, and I just never dared to actually get them off of my hard drive. So I got them off, and this freed up enough space for me to update my operating system, which was like 10 versions behind. And once I did that, the whole hard drive sorted itself out. It's like half empty now. Dreamy. So I just had to share that as a public service announcement for anybody who has a Mac and is running into the same problem. It's infuriating because my Mac runs so well besides that problem. So now I know how to solve that. Okay, so today we are going to dive into a case study. This case study is sort of near and dear to my heart, but I'm going to leave some names out. And I'm sharing it because I think it's such a good opportunity for learning about mistakes that can be made in businesses. So this is a case study not on a co-working space, but on a very similar business. So keep listening. It is a local business, which means it relies just like we do on local people searching for this solution. It is a membership-based business, just like our membership, our businesses, and it is very much focused on delivering a surface level solution, but really the benefits are grounded in community, which is very similar to our business as well. So I'm talking about a CrossFit gym. So background, local CrossFit gym started by a group of folks that were members of another CrossFit gym and wanted to create their own offering. This might be you. Maybe you were part of a co-working space and said, this is not exactly what I want. And I want to offer something different to people who are looking for the same thing that I'm looking for. So branched off, opened their own location and did really well. They started with a smaller space and started to really bust at the seams and decided they needed to find a bigger space. So they moved into a new space, which was double the size of their original space. Now, when they first started, there were several co-founders. I don't know what the structure actually looked like, but lots of people involved in sort of this founding of the new gym. There are now three owners. Trying to do background here, not dive into the issues. And they have, again, this is where I think it's a lot of analogies to the co-working business, outstanding coaches and a deep community, deeply engaged community. And the analogy there is, you know, an amazing community manager, operations manager, if you have one, and deep community in your co-working space. However, so on the surface, looks wildly successful. They are having some challenges. So it turns out last fall, they hit their peak membership rate of all time. This is being recorded in August, so not quite a year later. They are not profitable. They are losing cash every month. So they've also had some major capital expenses this year that have depleted their reserves. So this is different from being operationally cash flow positive. They had some reserves, some money in their savings account, if you will, for a rainy day, and it rained hard this year. So they signed a lease on a building that was not up to code and got called on that. They had a hearing, all sorts of activity around that, and they had to do some work on the space. I will not go into details, doesn't really matter, but it was expensive and depleted their reserves. And they turns out they signed a short-term lease. The building is being redeveloped, so the landlord does not, you know, not very invested in what's happening in that building. It is going to be turned into a hotel. So leveled, new building. Short-term lease, no leverage with the landlord, no TI dollars. So they've had to do this all on their own. And so now they're at no dollars in the savings account, not cash flow positive from month to month, and they still need to do some other capital improvements in the neighborhood of $60,000 to meet code. So here is some other background. There are now three owners with a financial stake in the business. None of them are full-time at the gym. They are, I would call them, except one of them, mostly absent. So no one manages the gym full-time. Two of the owners have full-time jobs and don't coach at all. One of them does coach, like one class a day, I would say, and has his own personal clients that he sees. And he also works at another gym. So there is no operating agreement among the owners. One of the founders is covering the monthly losses. So let's pause there. I want you to think about your structure. Do you have a business partner? If yes, do you have an operating agreement? Or if you're thinking about having a business partner, you must have an operating agreement. I have a business partner in my Palo Alto space, and we have an operating agreement that spells out really anything that could happen in the business, you know, down to what happens if somebody doesn't live anymore. I mean, it's really detailed. And that is from their years of experience and just being sophisticated business owners. So you need to hire an attorney and you need to get an operating agreement and you need to talk through all the what ifs. What if the business isn't profitable and you have no more money in reserves? How does money get put in? What if one of the owners cannot put the money in? What happens then? Does ownership shift? You know, if one of the owners is covering all of the losses, then the equity needs to be adjusted to account for that, or there needs to be a loan. There needs to be something that happens there to account for that. The ownership does not get to stay the same if not everyone is putting in the same dollars over time, if the business requires that. So operating agreement is critical. So that's one of the learnings here. Things can go wrong. This gym on the surface looks very successful. People in it all the time. Apparently not enough people. And on the back end, they've got a lease that is tenuous at best and a bunch of capital improvements not covered by the landlord. And so this could happen to you. You could make these decisions or things could change. You just never know. And so you need to have documentation in place that covers you when things don't go as you hope they go. You don't need an operating agreement when everything's going amazingly well, except it's something that specifies how does the profit get distributed. But when things don't go well, you don't want to be in a position where you don't have an operating agreement. So back to no full-time staff. So lots of you may own a co-working space. I am in this boat, or be thinking about opening one and not plan to be there every day. You have other businesses that you run, other responsibilities, but you are going to own the business and hire someone to manage it. Someone needs to be in charge. You cannot be an absent owner and have no one in charge. Now, in our business, the good news is typically you have to have somebody at the space. Although there are examples, there was discussion in a Facebook group, in our Facebook group recently about a smaller space that wanted to be sort of member run. You know, sort of like, I think she called it like a co-op model, and was kind of asking if anybody else had done that. I think that's totally possible if you have the right community and a smaller space that can sort of self-manage. And if you put the right sort of procedures and communication channels in place, you can do that. But most of the time in our business, there's a community manager that's there full time and they're in charge. Although that being said, you as the owner are responsible for ensuring that they have clear expectations around their sales and marketing role and the right systems and support in place to help them achieve those goals. So if you are not there and you are not the person giving tours and driving the marketing, you need to have the systems in place to support someone else. It cannot be the case that no one is doing this. So these owners are worried in a vague sense about the business, but no one is in charge. It's not one person's responsibility. And two of them have full-time jobs at other places. They're not there. They come to work out sometimes. That's it. So that is not a healthy place to be. So they don't have any full-time staff. They have roughly 10 coaches that are there sporadically. And again, this is typically not the case in our business. So that's probably not an analogous learning per se. But there are a lot of people involved in that business, and yet no one is in charge of growing the membership. I would say they have roughly 10 coaches and 3 owners. And out of those 13 people, no one is directly responsible. And so things are falling apart. So let's talk about kind of how they manage marketing and sales. So it doesn't look like they have a sales funnel. So they're not thinking about their sales and marketing activities in terms of a funnel with distinct stages of the customer journey from awareness to joining and all the things that need to happen in each of those stages in order to successfully move that customer to the next stage and ultimately get them to join. So if you have not yet listened to episodes 84 to 86 of this podcast, we talk about the co-working sales funnel dissected. It is 3 separate episodes. It's a lot to digest, but it's such an important topic. So this is what's missing at this CrossFit gym. They're just not doing that. They don't have a systematic approach to attracting potential members and converting them into members. So they do one big promotion each year in sort of that January, February timeframe when people are thinking about getting fit. They do this like challenge in a box that a company sells to gyms like them. And they do this challenge that's designed to get a lot of people in the door and then hopefully convert some of them. So that has worked for them in the past, although a couple of things here. One is that this year they emailed someone that was not on their do not email, or that was had opted out, and there was a lawsuit. So we won't go into details there, but the lesson for me there was, holy cow, usually we think, who's going to sue a small business, right? With not a lot of assets. You're not going to do that. You're going to go try to catch somebody with bigger pockets. Well, it happened. So you need to make sure, we need to make sure that our marketing practices are legal and that we are aware of the current email spam laws. If you are operating internationally, if you are in Europe, you are need to be GDPR compliant. And there is a lot of rigor around that and a lot of responsibility. So make sure that you and your team are following those requirements. From, again, kind of talking through marketing that is very analogous to our business, search engine optimization. If you search for CrossFit in my town, they are organic result number 9. There are only 2 CrossFit gyms in our town. The other gym gets the first 8. They are number 9. No good. They've been around for too long for that to be happening. So they are now running Google Ads to be in the top search result spot and paying for that, which is fine. Good for them for paying for that. That's part of their kind of, I'm calling it their Hail Mary approach to saving the business, is running some ads because they are not showing up in top search results. They made a name change a couple of years ago, and their old website still comes up when you do a search for their old name. They never took it down. So that needs to be taken down and redirected to their new site. And these are just kind of like basic marketing things that, if no one is in charge and thinking about these things and like waking up in the middle of the night worrying about, oh, did we take the old website down? If no one is in charge, then these little things happen and it's not good. It's confusing to the consumer. And it means that there are people out there who may be seeing their old site, which is not the same messaging as what's happening on their new site. And the Google ads obviously drive to their new site. And so we want a lot of consistency there. So now, because they have no systematic approach, marketing approach in place, they're sort of in that Hail Mary position where they're doing kind of, what can we do fast to get some members in the door to save the business? So a lot of desperate Instagram campaigns. So they've got some really nice videos of the community and the gym that they're having members share and trying to do kind of that refer a friend program, which is an excellent tactic to be using throughout the year. But typically these things don't work fast enough to save a business. So I think the big takeaway here is you want to be doing somebody needs to be in charge. You need to have very specific systems to support all these things, which I've talked about in a lot of other episodes, which I thought this would be a nice case study to kind of tie some of these things together. I'd have to look at the number, but there's an episode on leadership systems several episodes back, probably in the early 90s, that talk about weekly meetings and what to track and how to meet with your managers and your team members in order to make sure that everyone is going towards the same goal and executing on these consistent, tangible activities every month that you know drives membership. And you may not know when you first open what drives membership, but you will learn over time what works in your market, and you need to keep doing more of that and make sure your team is doing it. You can't have no one in charge, and you can't suddenly try to throw spaghetti at the wall and do all the things and hope that they work, because none of them work fast enough in general, right? If you do them over time and you do things that work, then they will sort of snowball into a great engine that drives membership. So Instagram campaigns. The other thing that I see happening here is that they're doing a lot of tactics, but I suspect it doesn't look like they've done the fundamental work of saying, okay, who are we serving? We have a core member that is very devoted, very engaged. What do they value? And how do we sell more of that while looking for opportunities to expand? What language do we need to use in our ads and on our website to draw in that ideal member? And then on the flip side, we've lost a pile of members from the last year, we being them. I'll start saying them again to not be confusing. Why did those members leave? Who's doing the exit interviews? Who's getting those insights? Is it the coaching? Is it that they, is the community clicky, right? That could happen in our business where you, new members come in and that existing membership is so tight and there's not sort of a way for them to work themselves in comfortably. Or do they not have the right classes? Are they not at the right times? Is it, you know, do they feel overwhelmed? What's happening to make them leave? And they must be losing a lot more members than they're gaining for them to be in the position that they're in. And they're not doing that research. And then again, sort of back to some of the marketing tactics, when does our core audience look for memberships? In our business, the co-working business, it's a work thing, right? So probably people are mostly doing that 9 to 5. And I don't advocate that you need to be staffing your live chat or your phone on the weekends or after hours. It's a work thing. So I think people pretty much expect it to be the case that we're staffed 9 to 5-ish. This website, however, is fitness. People tend to think about those things on the weekend or at night. Their live chat is not active. And I suspect if I call, I get voicemail. So every business needs to be thinking about when are our customers looking and thinking about joining and how can we be available to them when we're ready. And I actually listened to, it was a CrossFit podcast, but I thought it was totally applicable to our business. The topic on, of, there was kind of a variety of marketing topics, but in operational topics. One of the things they discussed, I've talked about on another episode, and it goes way back. I did not look up the number, but it's about how critical it is for us to answer the phone. And the GWA did a survey. I'll just repeat this for anybody who hasn't seen, hasn't listened to that or read the blog post. The GWA did an outreach to co-working spaces and roughly 30% of them answered their phone. We don't want that, right? Nobody knew that that was a GWA call. It could have been a customer call. So we assume this is typical behavior. In the CrossFit world, it's roughly the same, maybe a little bit lower. And so one of the solutions they mentioned, so we have in our industry services that will answer the phone for you. We use one through CloudVO, and DaVinci Virtual Office Solutions also does that. And they're both in the industry, so they understand our business. There is an app called Callingly that if someone makes an inquiry on your website and the form asks for a phone number, you will get an automated alert, whoever is sort of on call, to call that person immediately. So if someone's interested in co-working, they've filled out a form, they haven't booked a tour in our business, we want people booking tours on the website, right? But if they haven't, they've done some sort of other outreach, then you can get a notification and call them immediately. So this is not a good situation for this business to be in. And they are sort of going after some desperate, you know, can we get something to work really fast to save this? My hope for them, as is my hope for you in your business, is that they're starting to think more long-term and think about what systems can they get into place so that this doesn't happen again. So a few key takeaways. If you have a business partner or are opening a business with one, have an operating agreement. Find a template, get an attorney. It will cost you money. It's worth the investment because it'll cost you a lot money. You should think more money should things go south and you're, you know, hiring attorneys when you're in crisis mode. You can have an engaged, committed community and still lose money. So you can have people that love what you offer, but if you are not doing the right things in your business to create a sustainable business, you can still be in trouble. And if you are the owner, it's your responsibility to put the leadership and sales and marketing systems in place to grow and sustain your business. It is not your coaches and your community managers might be executing on that plan, but it's your job to get those things in place. Or you might have a marketing team. If you're a larger brand and you have a sales and marketing team that is part of your broader leadership team, it's still your job to make sure that everybody's marching to the same goals and executing well and having those check-ins in place and weekly meetings, et cetera, to make sure that everybody's aligned, everybody's executing, and that you're moving towards those goals and things are not falling through the cracks. So it's okay for you to not be the one who manages marketing and sales directly, but in the end, the buck stops with you and you need to be involved enough to ensure that the right systems are in place and being executed on to create and sustain a profitable business. Final thought. These systems can take time to develop, right? So we don't come out of the gate being perfect and knowing exactly what works for our business. But as an industry, that knowledge is growing and being shared. That's one of the reasons I'm here. So get the things in place that we know are necessary. Book a tour on your website, live chat, a manager who knows how to give a tour and it's customer friendly, training on giving tours and follow up, you know, have all the processes in place and a sales funnel. And even if it feels broad and you're just getting started and it's fuzzy, you will refine that, but make sure you allocate the time to learn and tweak and spend time on it every single week, every single month, not just when you look up and suddenly your membership numbers have hit rock bottom and you're in a bad place. So anyway, I don't want to end on a scary note, but I think the good news is if you look at some of these case studies and learn from them, you can get in front of those mistakes and not have those happen in your business. That's it for today. Hope that was helpful, give you some food for thought, and we will talk again next week.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.